Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise be. You know, I was watching a excuse me, I just took a swig of water. I was watching a television show from the 700 Club, and it was Jesse Duplantis. On one of the times, he was explaining when he was in heaven, and he was saying how he was having this dialogue with an angel, and one of the things that was said, the angel said to him was, and he squared off and kind of took a deep breath, Jesse did, and tried to duplicate what the angel said, and he said, "Praise be to the great God Jehovah." Maybe you might have heard that 700 Club interview, but that always stuck with me, how the angels, they take a deep breath and they say with all that they have, "Praise be to our God." So when we say "Praise God," put a little oomph behind that. Praise God. Yes. And mean it instead of just "Praise God." That doesn't count. Praise be to our great God, Jehovah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Welcome everyone here this evening. And welcome all of you joining right now on the live stream. Or if you're just watching this after the fact, welcome. Thank you so much for watching and participating in this evening's Bible study. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And we are always happy to be in the house of God, always glad to be in His presence, to worship Him, to give Him praise and glory and adoration, and to fellowship with one another. What a blessing it is to fellowship in the house of God. A huge blessing. I have here a brief Bible study that I put together here. And before I proceed, let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we praise You. We exalt Your holy, holy name. We love You, Lord. And Lord, besides everything that's going around in the world, and you know, the news and all the negativity and everything out there, Lord, we feel so blessed. We can find ourselves, Lord, under Your wings, under Your cover. And I pray, Lord, that every single person here and everyone watching this right now will yearn to be closer and closer to You every single day. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will guide us, will teach us to minister, Lord, to other people who need to hear the word of the Lord, who need to feel the love of God in their lives. Use us, Lord. Use us tremendously. Lord, we glorify Your name. Be exalted, Lord, this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I was trying to think of titles for this evening service, and I was having a hard time. And I still haven't come up with a title. And that's probably not a good thing to even me say that, but nonetheless, I wanted to call this sermon, "But, comma, do you really know?" And we could go with that for now, I guess, if you want to write that down. Another possibility was, do we really know our God? When we think about our God, potentially most of us think of love, gladness, jubilee, all things that are great, all things that are awesome. And that's not a wrong way of thinking. Our God is the essence of love, of care. And also, we must have faith to worship this God. We serve an invisible God, a God that we are only able to see in the Spirit, to interact in the Spirit, to worship Him in the Spirit. And the first verse I want to bring to your attention right now is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38, that says this: Now the just, which is you and I who have given our lives to Jesus, we have separated ourselves, we have repented from our sins, we are called the just, shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in this particular individual. The word here says, in him, right? Now, the just shall live by faith. I want to zero in right now briefly on this statement. The just shall live by faith is both a statement and a command, right? It's a statement. The Lord right now is stating something right now. This is how it's going to be. And also, this is how it should be. There is no way about it. There isn't, okay, but you can do this, or but you can do that. You can do it this way or that way. No. We shall live by faith. The just will. Now, I'm the first one to say that it's not easy. It is not easy to live by faith. And most people do not enjoy living by faith. However, I have met maybe just a handful in my lifetime, my entire life, who thoroughly enjoy living by faith. And let me tell you, they are a special breed of people. Very, very special. And those are the folks that have the biggest impact in your life, in your Christian life. You learn from them. You pick up certain things. You walk away with something when you meet those types of people. But at the very least, as far as we are concerned, God has gifted each member of the body with a measure of faith. Now, you've heard me say before, even in the recent past, I've talked about faith already, and I've talked about just general faith, how we place faith in things. But right now, this is a different faith that I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual faith. Every single one of us has spiritual faith. All of us. The Lord has gifted us with this gift of faith. It requires of us a great deal of focus and discipline, living by faith, to live by faith. And to do it well, we must fully accept God's sovereignty, not solely as a random act per se, but as a reality working in our lives of faith. Another title that I was arguing, going back and forth, is calling this God's sovereignty. We must fully accept God's sovereignty in our lives. And I'm going to expound on that in just a few minutes. God's sovereignty. But for right now, I want to talk about faith. Living your daily life, living by faith, your daily life, looking at things through God's eyes. Do you recall the Israelites? Recall that many Israelites failed along the way to the promised land. A lot of them perished on the way. And why did that happen? because their faith failed at some point during their pilgrimage. That's why they perished in the wilderness. It's a known fact that from where they left, from point A to point B, they could have just gone a straight shot. Psst, and it would have taken them just a few days to get there, right? It wouldn't take them long at all, but it took them 40 years of travel time to get to this destination that was just around the corner. And during these 40 years, the Lord is working on them. The Lord is working. A lot of things happened in these 40 years. But because their faith failed at some point during that pilgrimage, during that travel, a lot of them perish. But now my question to you right now is this. Their faith in whom? Or their faith in what? What did they have faith on that perish? But their faith in whom and what? And I know what you're going to say. Of course, faith in God. Right? Their faith in God perished. But unlike them, now bringing the attention back to us, have we fully accepted what our God is and what our God does? Have we accepted the sovereignty of our God, of who He is and what He does? Our Lord Jesus in the New Testament says that we must place everything else in our lives secondary. Everything. Our God is supposed to be number one above and beyond everything else. And do we know this? Do we know that God is supposed to take absolute precedence at all times? Can I please have Luke chapter 14, verses 26? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Depending on the Bible that you pick up and read this verse, most likely it's going to be in red. These are words from the Lord. If anyone comes to me, if you come to me, and you don't let go of every single thing that means to you, if there are other things in your life that mean more to you than I, even your own life, our Lord Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. Now, do we look at things from that perspective? Do we carry ourselves from that point of view? And now, I'm going to ask, what are his qualities and his attributes? What is our vision of God's place in our lives? You think about that for a moment. Where is he in the mix? Is he at the very top? At the very, very, very top? Or is he on your top three? Top two? Top five? Think about it. Besides God's warning about the world, we must often be reminded that the carnal mind, our mind, is not subjected to him. And the Bible says that as indeed it cannot be. Real briefly, I'm going to bring to your attention Romans 8, 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So this is our mind. This is how we think. This is our natural self. But this is what the Lord is saying, and then this is our mind. The sinner is a rebel against God and in active hostility towards Him constantly. If any proof were needed right now because of this statement, it is most clearly seen in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Most vividly witnessed. The mind, it wants its own will, not God's will. It wants to be its own master and not to bow down to His rules. Its nature is such that it cannot be subject to God's law. It is not the only inclination that is missing, but the power as well is missing. The flesh, ultimately, is dead towards God. A major reason the Israelites in the wilderness failed is that it never entered their minds. It never entered their minds at the beginning of their journey that it would be so difficult. Never. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? If you read the passages, they're always grumbling. They're always complaining. What do they say? That's better off for me to be back in Egypt than for me to die of hunger, die of thirst, and all of this other stuff out here. It's better for us to stay back there. Isn't that what they said? They were complaining. They thought it was going to be a cakewalk. Isn't that what they say? Cakewalk. But it wasn't a cakewalk. I venture to say that the number one reason that they complained so much is because they weren't ready. Their expectations were completely wrong. So they complained and they grumbled and the Lord dealt with them. And in the very near future now, I'm going to preach about complaining and grumbling. And I'm going to tie that to faith. Because right now I'm on this path of faith right now. I have been. By coincidence, it just worked out that way. Here now within the last couple of weeks. But the major reason why these Israelites failed is because it never entered their mind at the very beginning of their sojourn that it was going to be difficult. Our positions as called children of God place us in a position in which we must determine who is regulating the affairs on this earth. Who has control? Who are we going to submit ourselves to? To whom will we submit our lives? It's either going to be one of two, and you know these one of two. You know both of them, I should say. It's either going to be God, or it's either going to be the enemy. There is no in between. Some people say, I don't believe in a God. Well, that's nonsense. You believe in something. Atheist. And I'm not going to start talking about all these groups of people who don't feel as though religion is a thing and belief system and all of this, but you're either going to fall one way or the other way. And it's not as though it is a struggle between those two. There is no struggle at all. The contest has already been decided. How? God won. God already won. There is no contest at all. However, our Lord God permits the enemy limited leeway to test us and to try us. Which of these two, between whom we must choose, will be supreme? Is it going to be our carnal minds? Is it going to be the way that we think, the way that we perceive? Or are we going to act by faith? Are we going to trust in our God? Are we going to give our God precedence above even our own lives? It's one of the two. Which will we choose to be sovereign over our lives? Is the question right now. And in the book of Revelations, it states that the enemy has deceived the entire world. Can I please have that? Revelations 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He is an accuser, and ultimately he is the author of confusion. And we have witnessed everywhere, including today, unfortunately. But we have been living under confusion for a very long time. If we take an overview of the conditions on the earth right now, we see turmoil everywhere. And that is providing a clear picture that mankind, as a whole, has given itself over to the enemy. As a whole. However, this is not so with us. It is not so with us at all. By God's mercy, our minds have been opened for the very purpose of freely choosing God as our sovereign and submitting ourselves over to Him and Him alone. So then, how much do we really truly know about His attributes? How much do we truly know about His character? But also, equally important, about His judgment, as shown in the Word of God. How much do we know? For instance, I'm going to give you an example right now. Are we aware of what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 63? And it says, "And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess." Whoo! These are some strong words, wouldn't you say? Some very, very, very strong words. When I was reading this verse, the first thing that came to mind, and I'm pretty sure we might know someone who is like this, we might have heard of someone like this, but you've heard the term already. I brought you in, and I can take you out. Right? Ooh. Usually you hear those words when you weren't so nice, when you weren't good. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. But that's what I thought. Here our God is saying, "And it shall be just as the Lord rejoiced over you, just as I blessed you and I multiplied and I did good things to you." The Bible says that the Lord will rejoice when He destroys you and brings you to nothing. Are you familiar with this judgment? This side of our Lord God is often not taught, is often not talked about. And yet, it is a part of the whole of what our God is. It is a part of who He is. He is a just God. He is a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a wonderful God. He is the essence of mercy. But He's also a God that judges, and He judges correctly. and we must face it, and we must choose it if we want to serve this God. And oftentimes, we slack. Oftentimes, we grow cold. We tend to forget. We do things our own way and how we feel is just and what we feel is right. But remember these words that come from Hebrew chapter 10, verses 31. It says this: "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." A very fearful thing. When we serve our God, we serve Him with all of our hearts, with all of our mind and strength and soul.
Yes.
We give Him our best. And we watch our step because God is always watching. Our God is merciful. I'm not saying that we serve this tyrant of a God. I'm not trying to say that we serve this God who is with the iron rod and all of... No, this is not the picture that I'm trying to paint. But nonetheless, I am huge on reverence. I am big on reverence. And the Lord honors us. He blesses us when we take Him seriously, when we honor our God. Everything that we do, we must do in submission to Him for the honor and glory of His name. Because He judges. He judges us. And speaking of which, let me just take you back just one previous verse now. We just read verses 31. Can I please have verses 30? Just for a quick reference. "For we know Him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." And again, and this is what I want you to focus your attention on, it says, "The Lord will judge His people." The Lord will judge you and I. He will judge us, our actions, what we do, and also what we don't do. By all means. And then it follows, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Do you know that about your God? Or do you only look at Him as an almighty, loving, wonderful, and nothing can go wrong, and I can do anything, and it's forgiven? No, 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 not at all. And you know, I'm going to be the first one to say that judgment are oftentimes very, very painful. Very painful. God says in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy that He humbled the Israelites and caused them to hunger. And I'll bring this to your attention now, Deuteronomy 8, verses 3. Look at this. "And He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." We know this verse. Our Lord Jesus quoted that verse when He was in the wilderness. But right now, the focus is what our Lord does. The Bible says that the Lord allowed, it says, "And He humbled you, allowed you to hunger. And then He fed you something that you had no idea." No idea. You didn't even know about it. Your fathers didn't know about it. That's brand new food. Our Lord God. Will He, for His purpose, bring similar judgment towards you and I? Or will this just be something from the Old Testament? From back in the Old Testament days? Or does it apply to us today? What are your thoughts? So that we must choose to accept His chastening, and submit to Him as our sovereign. Do you think? Why might He rejoice in exercising His judgment against His people? Maybe that could be a question that you're thinking right now. Why would he do that towards his own people? It is actually because of his merciful love. That is the reason. It is because he loves you. It is because he loves me. This is why he does it. And you know, Peter reminds us of these words. 2 Peter 3:9, please. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the reason why he does it. It's that exact reason right now. Our Lord God doesn't slack. So by all means, when you're going through something, the Lord is trying to get your attention. You're going off the wrong way. You're heading in the wrong direction. I need to bring you here. All of us, I venture to say every single one of us, we are stubborn. We're hard-headed. And the Lord knows exactly how to get our attentions. And oftentimes, it's that pinch that hurts. Oh man, that pinch, I felt it in my soul. You ever been pinched like that and like right there? Like, you know, right above your calf? Right here on the inside sensitive part of your leg? Or right here? That squeeze? Ooh, that hurts, right? My daughter is learning how to pinch right now. She pinches like my neck. And sometimes I feel that. I don't know who taught her because it wasn't me. It could only be another person. But we'll leave it right there. Our Lord God is trying to get your attention by this pinch. This is why he does it. This is why he brings certain situations in your life to get your attention. Because he doesn't want none of us to perish. Paul also in the New Testament confirms this by saying that God desires all men. Can I have that please? 1 Timothy 2:4. God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the purpose of our God. This is what he wants. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants us all to be there with him in heaven. And thus, he can rejoice in punishing because he knows that the punishment will be the means to draw men to the knowledge of the truth by which they can repent. Repent and be saved. This is the reason. So now, my question is, for what you are going through right now in your life, for what you have experienced, have you totally given it to the Lord? Our God is a righteous God, and he judges correctly, and he wants to see the best for you. Give it up to the Lord, and trust him, trust his judgment, and you will be living the best of the best here on earth, up until he comes and takes us up to him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. And Lord, we thank you for loving us, Lord, so much. And Lord, we know that oftentimes things happen because you're looking for our attention. You're looking to correct us, Lord. And may we receive, Lord, your corrections and your judgments with an open heart. So many people, Lord, have resentment. So many people, Lord, don't understand. They don't know why. Lord, I pray that your grace and your mercy and your love will come upon them, Lord. Lord, we submit ourselves to you wholeheartedly, Lord. May we live every single day of our life fully dedicated to you. May you be, Lord, number one in our lives. Lord, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.